Amen and amen. It's amazing when you read about the creation of this universe, how specific and logical and ordered and powerful it was. And when we look out across the universe, we find it powerful and specific and logical and ordered, and we feel so tiny in it. You know, at every level of looking out into the universe, whether it was Adam and his family looking up into the heavens or the latest analysis by our deepest satellites, at every level it looks huge. At every level it looks beyond comprehension, because on a bright night when the moon is out, you can see some stars, but as that moon goes away and you finally get the new moon and the sky is black, 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 you see thousands upon ten thousands of stars, and you realize that there are more. If the night would be darker, how could that be? But there's more out there. And so even the simplest travelers across the desert thousands of years ago were humbled by the scope and the size of what God has done. And yet, that same powerful God took us and made us in his image. Moms, too. Happy Mother's Day. And I hope truly this is a day that's a day of rejoicing for the moms in the room, and that the children in the room and the husbands in the room and the brothers and the sisters of moms in the room and the parents of moms in the room can make it a special day for ladies, for our moms. It's the right thing to do. I know it's a U.S.-based a holiday started close to 100 years ago, but it's the right thing to do. God tells us to honor our father and our mother. And so adding a time to stop and do that as a nation is good. Let's enjoy and do that well. God did special things with mothers. Most specifically, he uses ladies, he uses women who become moms as a vessel to grow babies. You look at the face of a woman carrying a baby, and the excitement and the joy and the wonder shines out of her face at many times throughout when she's not feeling sick, weary, painful, and all the other things that happen during pregnancy. But the excitement that actually there's a new human that's never been here before forming in her womb. How exciting is that? Did you hear the news this week? You pay attention to the details of the news. I caught it only in the secondary passing. I was listening to a religious discussion, and the guy in the discussion referred to this, that the University of Northwestern, or Northwestern University as it's called, a research team has captured what had been known about for 5 years or so, that at the moment of conception, there's a visible flash around the egg. At the moment of conception, when the sperm breaks through the multiple shells of the unfertilized egg and fertilizes that egg, at that moment, it's created by the chemical, the compound zinc, or the element of zinc, and it's actually a flash of visible light. If you're interested in that, you can Google it and watch the little bitty video of it. It's amazing to see this, that so many things are going on we don't even begin to understand. We don't even begin to understand what's happening in the development of that baby. and in the fertilization and the creation of a new person. I don't mean to make any spiritual significance of the visible light, but it is amazing what God does in his creation. There was a mother once who had to run back to Jerusalem because she lost her son. Most of you ladies have lost your children sometime or another, whether in a store or in the neighborhood or down a trail. We lost a child of ours on part of the Appalachian Trail. That child thought you might know who it is, that if they went this way, we were going that way. They said if they went this way, they figured they'd go around the hill and catch up with us on the other side. They didn't know around the hill ended in Maine. We were in Virginia at the time. So this little child of ours took off excitedly to get there before we did. We were going to for an overlook to see the Shenandoah Valley. And for a while, because little children's feet are swift and they take off, for a while, mom and dad had the heart in their throat, and we were running looking for a child because we couldn't find him. We found him. I could say that was our other child. Never did find him. No. Never did find that one. No. So we're not the only parents that have lost a child temporarily, but it wasn't quite this dramatic because this mom in Luke chapter 2 lost a child for a few days. She didn't realize she didn't have him with her. And in Luke 2:48, when they saw him, they were astonished. Who speaks up first? Who speaks up first in Luke 48? Mom. I wonder what the tone of her voice was. I wonder what the tone of her voice was. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way?" That sounds like a mom, actually. "Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Her concern was for him. You know, it's if I find him, I'm going to kill him kind of a thing. For him. And now he's okay. Well, now the concern turns around. We've been wasting how much time looking for you? The concern turned around. We know his answer. "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know I had to be about my father's house? Had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand. So family communications then are about like family communications now. We say things to each other and we don't understand. But what did Mary do with this? This is Mary and Joseph and Jesus. "They went down with them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, continued in subjection to them. And his mother..." Guys, you're married to women. I imagine your understanding of a woman's thinking process is similar to mine. And that's not derogatory. I don't understand how a woman thinks. When I ask women say they don't understand how they think. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be off-putting or insulting. A woman's mind thinks and processes things differently. A constant flow of ideas and thoughts often course through a woman's mind. So as Mary is traveling to Nazareth, and as she gets back home, and as she's planting that year's crops, and as she's working the household, and as she's preparing for the clothing for the coming winter, and as she's working on things, her mind is continually running these things around. What did that mean? What do I have to understand about that? She treasured all these things. Joseph, probably like you and I, took the thoughts of that event and went, that was really interesting. And he put them in a corner of his brain and remembered them, and then went on and took care of other things. And if you wanted to talk about what happened back in Jerusalem, you'd say, hey, Joseph, yes, tell me about what happened when Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. He'd go, he'd think about it, and he'd go back to that corner of his brain, and if he can remember, and open it up and retell the story. But to Mary, it was a constant part of her thought. Even whether it was large or small, it continued to be treasured by her. Moms have a part of God's process in their heart and in their mind in which ideas and cares and connections are constantly flowing. All sorts of things are just below the surface. You see, what we read a minute ago in Genesis chapter 1, I know you know it very well, that God said, I'm going to make man in our image. An interesting phrase for a single God anyway. Verse 26 of Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, a spiritual God has no physical likeness. A spiritual God has nothing visible. And he's using a visible word to describe how he made us to be like him in his likeness, in his image. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In case you didn't catch it twice or three times now that he said it, he says it again. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, it's a good study. It's a fun exercise to think about and work through what it means to be created in God's image, the spiritual, the will, the sense of choice, free will, the idea of morality, right and wrong, that the sense that a human has that animals don't, creativity, art and music and the rest of it, relationships, a choice of relationships, lifelong relationships, and in fact, beyond lifelong, we have eternity in us. We are eternal in one direction from the moment of that spark in the womb all the way through the end of eternity, infinity, in other words. We don't die. And reason. But in all of those things, the spiritual, the free will, the creativity, the moral, the reason, the relationships, there's a, in our understanding, a masculine part of that, and there's a feminine part of that, and both parts make up our Heavenly Father. That's the way he chooses us to describe him and understand him, yet he describes himself at times in feminine terms. God is not man in this, any sense that he's not feminine. God is man in our relationship with him. But he is given out of his image, man and woman. So when we understand that there's no greater value to being man or woman, that when we read in Galatians that all are one in Christ, Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and free, female, that there is not a benefit, there's not a better place. Simply what's happened to us is we have been given different attributes or different strengths or different emphasis from our Heavenly Father. God has special considerations for moms. And it is in his face when God has taught his people, whether it's in Judaism or Christianity, women there are supposed to be, are taught to be respected and held up and honored and specifically protected. Look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, God describes his comfort. I'm going to start in verse 12. He's talking about giving peace to Jerusalem. For thus the Lord says, Isaiah 66, 12, for thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river. You ever heard that? Peace like a river? And the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed. And you will be carried on the hip. And you will be fondled and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies. God takes the care of his people, the relationship with his people, and he describes what he will do for them or for us in mothering terms, right down to nursing. That the people of Israel, that his people, will be comforted on his lap like a mom takes care of a baby. You know, it's amazing to see a woman in the vicinity of a baby. A stranger's baby, a friend's baby, their own baby. There's this hyper-awareness. There's this excitement, this sensitivity. A guy standing nearby will say, well, yeah, he's a cute baby, but kind of looked like all the other ones. The little person, they come that way, small humans. But the moms aren't that way. Our ladies aren't that way. Oh, look at him. Oh, just want to pinch those cheeks. Out of her heart wells up this enthusiasm. And guys, don't sit back and scratch your heads over it. Open your eyes and say, that's my Heavenly Father. That's God's excitement for his own. God loves us with a mom's passion. God cares for us and hopes for us with a mom's care. And God drives us with a mom's toughness. I remember a man talking about dealing with a neighbor. There was a problem between two neighbors. And he was talking to his wife, and he said, well, she was over yesterday and wanted to talk to us. And the husband said, I'm going to wait until he's around, because I'd much rather talk to him about this problem than her. Moms get a particular defensiveness, a particular intensity when it comes to the care and protection of their families. Dads are masterful protectors. Dads have great ideas and protection, but it's kind of rough and tumble. It's out there. It's we're going to do things in specific ways. Moms are more like a spear point. Don't cross my family. I'm protecting them. The Fort McMurray, is that the name of the place with the fire? Do I have that right? Something like that in Canada. I've been trying to follow the story, and I'm embarrassed that I don't get the name right. But that fire is a horrible fire. It has seriously destroyed a major part of that city. There was a so I've been trying to follow the story, partly because it's not that far away, and partly because we're in our own fire zone, and partly because you care about people. And so a young man tells his story and gets put on Fox News. He's interviewed over the phone as they're watching his GoPro camera video. He stuck it on the dashboard of his car. What had happened is he'd gotten off work, he crashed in his apartment, didn't really realize how fast the fire was coming in his direction, heard a bunch of commotion, woke up in the middle of the afternoon, and his area was being evacuated. In fact, he was way behind the curve on getting out of his apartment. Grabbed his stuff, jumped in his vehicle, stuck his GoPro on his dashboard, and jumps out into the traffic. Well, you may have seen the lines of traffic of people trying to get out, 90,000 people trying to get out of this area. Well, this is the only video where I saw flaming ashes bouncing off of his car. I mean, he had bright ashes and flames jumping across the hood of his vehicle. I sure would be hoping for a good solid fuel system at that point. No leaks, you'd hope. But he got out and he put this on YouTube and it got picked up, and then they interviewed him on Fox News. And he says, he was in his early 20s, or he sounded like that, single guy. And he said, yes, my parents lived a couple of hours south of me, of here, and I just went there. And when I got home, I showed the video to my parents, and my mom was worried. Didn't say anything about dad's reaction. 80-foot flames chewing up trees within in the first row of trees right by the edge of the road. Nothing but the glow of fire, no sunlight. Smoke so thick you can't see two cars ahead, and flaming embers dancing across his hood. Mom was worried. Mom was worried. Mothers have this active interaction given to them by our Heavenly Father. It's gentle. It's gentle until you need to spur on one of your children, and then it gets specific and tough and challenging. Moms want their children and see the future. If this mistake continues, my son will never make it out of college. If this mistake continues, my daughter will never fill in the blank. And the dad's going, but that's not going to continue. And she says, but if it does. And so she ends up being this intensity, this heart in the family that wants to move things forward, that wants a child to learn, that wants things to be better. Mom is comforter, like the Holy Spirit, but also a fiery protector, an intense protector. Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, she challenged Jesus. But moms are also like what Jesus says in John 14. God sent his Holy Spirit to be our comforter. And moms are absolutely comforters. Moms are the place that children want to go to. The other idea of the comforter, Jesus says, is I won't leave you as... He tells the 11, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. So, both in the aspect of relationship and in the aspect of ever-present comfort, we have God's Holy Spirit. I'm not implying that the Holy Spirit is a feminine part of God. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is that God has aspects to him that we understand as being primarily masculine and primarily feminine. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. This comforting, this ever-present care is the most obvious and like the best known aspects of mothers. That the home is a place to go to, that nourishment is provided, that there are beds to sleep in, and the clothes end up being cared for, that home ends up being a place we generally think of as being warm and protecting. Obviously, Satan has succeeded in attacking home after home, family after family, and plenty of moms have had painful, difficult lives that they unfortunately sometimes bring on to their own children. There are plenty of relationships between child and mother that have broken down into destructive relationships, and I never intend to gloss over that or to ignore that. But literally, it's only been in the past few years that I've been able to step back a little bit and notice the childhood of our own sets of parents between Carol and I, to look back over the characters of the people that I knew so well and look at what shaped their character and what shaped the character of their parents. We found a rape back in the family line. We found anger and distrust and abandonment, alcoholism. And so you step back and now come into the present day and you look at your own parents and you say, whether they're alive or dead or passed on, and you say, I understand things differently now. It's amazing that they overcame so much. So often we want to just shake fingers at the mistakes of our own parents, especially when you become an adult and you look back and say, well, they didn't do that right, and they didn't do this right, and my goodness, they were always doing this wrong. Grace goes both ways. Our moms and our dads went through things that we'll never understand, and their parents through things that we'll never even get close to understanding. Ronald Reagan talked about this as president. He said, the truth is, this country could never have been colonized, the vast prairies never plowed, nor God and learning brought to the corners of our continent without the strength, bravery, and influence of our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and the women who came before them. He wrote, living through blizzards, plagues, prairie fires, floods, these women made homes, started families, worked in churches, and built schools. They served as teachers, field hands, physicians, and the center of the family. There was a political cartoon I saw this week in light of Mother's Day, and it showed a cracked world. It showed the globe with cracks all over it, which is kind of how we feel about our world right now. It all looks kind of cracked. And off to the side was a mother, a tube, I think, that said, "Mother's, Happy Mother's Day," gluing it back together. In Asian countries, they found a couple of decades ago, they found a powerful way to economically improve community after community. They gave what they called was microloans, little bitty business loans, a few hundred dollar business loans to the moms, to the ladies in the families. And they got cottage businesses, like the woman in Proverbs 31. They got little cottage industries started in their own families and drastically improved their own communities. Didn't need necessarily a factory at the end of the street, didn't need to redo the whole city. Just give mothers some resources to make their family better. And it has powerful effects. God intended it that way. God intended it that way. You see, in that relationship, from the from the youngest, you know, from the moment of birth, that mother is a training and a shaping ground for her children. Physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual health come in the arms of a mother. The good news is that even with the broken relationships of the past, even with the hurt and the things that didn't go right, we can start now with improvement, with repentance, with putting God's plan of what a mother and a home is supposed to be. Much of that comes from us, guys, that we can be a strength point for the ladies in our lives. We can be a bit of the rock that God is. We can be the man who is speaking with the elders at the city gate, so to speak, who is bringing honor to the family, who's bringing stability to the family, but most importantly, who's bringing faith and a direction into the family. You see, it doesn't work very well. There's plenty of single moms out there struggling to make things work, and there are lots of successes, but we know it's difficult for a single mom. It's why we're supposed to take extra attention and extra care to widows and orphans, is because the pattern is supposed to be two adults, a husband and a wife, pulling together, each doing their own job. Each doing their own job. The children get confused and it breaks down when one of them steps on the other one and tries to do both jobs. It's supposed to be two people serving God. And together, if we do this thing right, we end up fulfilling what he intended from the very beginning. And that is that the two of us, husband and wife, would reflect the wholeness of our Heavenly Father. None of this it takes away from those who, by God's blessing, go through life single. That's not intended. There's no less God in a single life than there is in a married life. But clearly, in a place where children are being brought up, it's intended that God's full attributes are brought together by husband and wife. So let's honor moms today. Let's honor them by all of us fulfilling the role in the family that we're supposed to fulfill. The men of the family are to lead and guide and protect. The women of the family are to be the heart, are to respect their husbands, teach their children, keep their home. And the children of the family, you're to obey your mother and father. That's your primary command in the Bible, is obey your mother and father. Following that, you honor your mother and father. And so when we get together, and on this day, let's give the mothers around us a particular appreciation that we can carry from here a wiser, more careful, more specific view of what God intends out of husbands and wives. Thank you very much for your attention. The wholeness of the nature of God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. God came and brought a relationship with his people, the Jews. And out of the Jewish nation, he prepared himself a place for his son to live on this earth for 33 years. And Jesus did that very thing and died on a cross that we could come back to him. And in that relationship, he gives us the third part of who he is as God, his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, we are in Christ by being baptized into him, and all go back to the Heavenly Father for an eternity with him. If you're not in that relationship with God in Christ, we want to not let today go by without giving you an opportunity to be baptized. If you need any help for prayer, for Bible study, for anything that we can help you with, please let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been chosen by Stephen.